Welcome, everybody, to The Rad Life, the only talk radio show that takes you along with host and age explorer Rod Gontos on his continuing journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older. The Rad Life is brought to you this week by Your Home for a Lifetime, a company dedicated to empowering you to stay safely, independently, and comfortably in your own home. And now here is your host, Rad Gontos.
Okay, so we started off before we got on the air here a minute ago and said that the last posting on Facebook, that the young lady that got that was murdered, that was run over by a car in the rally that took place at Charlottesville over the weekend. Paul's like breathing heavy over there. Okay, hold it up, hold it. Okay, I can hear him. He's ready to jump in. Okay, her last post, one of her last posts, or maybe supposedly her last post on Facebook was, "If you're not outraged, you're not paying attention." Okay.
Yes.
And I think that pretty much sums it up. I know for me, I am absolutely outraged. I could not believe that there is some reality in which people who are basically using symbolism, whether they mean it, they're joking, whatever, but there's personal accountability, using symbolism that represents what we as a country and we as a human race and a world fought against for over friggin' 4 years, with millions of people who died, okay, called Nazis, okay, using symbols like that, that somewhere in the realm of bizarro world, okay, you can equate that with people who are actually pushing back against it.
Mitt Romney said it all. No, they're not the same. One preaches hate and violence, and the other is pushing back against it.
Well, and that's Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, talk about the bizarre world, right? I'm listening to Mitt Romney. I'm listening to George W. Bush.
They're not the same.
You know, I'm listening to Lindsey Graham, and I'm going, these people speak us the truth, right? I never thought in a million years I would be basically making reference to some people that I basically did not agree with on other things. But you know what? It's times of crisis like this, honestly, that all that noise, all that stuff that divides us really just goes away.
It should go away.
Well, for most, I think what
yeah, for
I
most of the country, it does,
and it did. The president backed. The president was forced to back down and make the statement we all wanted him to say, which is, "I don't care if these people like me or support me. I don't like them. I'm not there to represent the American Nazi Party and the Ku Klux Klan and all these other crazies united around them, the skinheads and everything else. I do not support them, and I don't want their support of me." That's all he had to say, and this thing goes away. And he refused to say it at first, and then they forced him, after a lot of criticism, his own people forced him to do it on Monday, and everybody started to calm down, and then with no explanation why, he simmered for another 24 hours, and then on his own, at a place for infrastructure, launched into it and took it all back.
I thought it was an infrastructure.
Yeah. Well, it was. He was at his citadel in New York City.
Citadel, literally, his castle.
And Trump Tower. Coming down to announce an infrastructure executive order. And
with two Jewish people on one side of him, Gary Cohn and the other guy, whose name escapes me, and an Asian American who is his transportation secretary, and he launched into this whole thing again. The real Donald Trump came out, this unrehearsed, unscripted diatribe.
Do you think he pretty much just co-opted them into his craziness, basically, and they had no clue?
They had no clue what he was going to say.
I don't think his chief of staff had a clue at all.
You could tell.
This is a battle-hardened general.
Yeah.
Okay.
You could tell. He was looking at the ground and biting his tongue.
The end of that interview, he was shaking his head. His arms were crossed.
Yes.
This guy broke a general.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
He did.
What has he done to the rest of the country? He's broken a huge part of this country.
And if you saw Nicole Wallace, who used to be John McCain's advisor and is now on MSNBC, she's on the Enemy Channel here. She's a lifelong diehard Republican. She started a rant that afternoon and said, "How can anybody continue to work for this? When is somebody going to stand up and say, I quit?"
What is this? What is this BS? And I'm being nice. Okay, I don't make comments until I get all the facts.
Well, that was a lie.
Because when we had the Philippines attack and they thought it was ISIS related and turned out to just be an angry guy.
But he waited 3 days, right, to get the...
No, he waited 3 seconds to start blasting that. If this had been an Islamic terrorist attack instead of a domestic Nazi attack, he would have been denouncing it within seconds on Twitter.
You mean like he did this weekend where while he was pausing for the facts... The minute that the guy from Merck left the committee, he basically blasted them within 54 minutes of it happening. 54 minutes from it happening. He was basically twittering, and that basically the guy was grandstanding, and that guy, he's got plenty of people to fill. Ironically, out of all the people that left, which there was about four or five of them that day, within 48 hours.
We talked about it,
right?
What was happening.
The one person who's African-American was the one he targeted. I mean... For a split second, let me just say that he's not intentional. How stupid could you be? How could
you
be? If
he's not intentional, he's incredibly
insensitive. How could you be so consistently wrong? I mean, it makes me wonder, like, how the heck did you make it as a businessman?
Craig said it earlier. He doesn't want to say it on the air, but for a moment, we saw the real Donald Trump, angry, refusing to back down and apologize. Angry that people pushed him into saying something that he didn't really want to say. The real Donald Trump came out.
It's like a petulant child.
More than that, he really does buy into this alt-right BS.
Don't tell me what to do or say. I'm going to come out and basically say what I want afterward.
He wants us to believe that this was a peaceful rally of Southern sympathizers that got... where a bunch of Nazis and Klansmen came in and took it over and turned it violent, along with the people from the left, the Black Lives Matter and the commies and the hippies and all whatever old terms you want to dig up, they came in and turned what was a peaceful march into a violent confrontation. And the fact, as they all said in all the commentaries, left and right, is if there was a peaceful Southern sympathizer who was there to say, don't tear down our history, don't tear down the Confederacy, don't forget the sacrifices they made. If those people were there, the minute they walked in and saw David Duke speaking from the Klan, the Nazi swastikas all over the place here, the shields of the Aryan nation being carried, they would have left. Or they joined in.
Okay, so let me ask you this question, okay, because...
Good people weren't standing marching in that twilight Nazi procession of torches like the Klan used to do and like the Nazis used to do.
Okay, but let's talk about one thing, right? Because, and before I do that...
There were no ordinary people there.
Before I do that, I want to just be very clear, right? I think there is absolutely no place to equate one side of the group of people that were there with the friggin' torch carrying, you know, stormtrooper marching in the middle of the night.
Ku Klux Klan,
but it was all the visuals that were anti-civil rights, all the visuals that were Ku Klux Klan, all the visuals that were Nazi. You know, brown shirt storming the Reichstag visuals.
Chanting death to Jews and death to fags and death to immigrants.
Jews will not replace us.
Yeah.
Okay?
Come on.
So here's the thing, okay? What do you guys think about the statues? Let's just step away for a second, okay? Just in terms of statues of Confederate generals or whatever... What do you think
about
that?
Can I give you my – because I've thought a lot better than Craig can answer here. I'll give you my
thoughts. I'm very curious.
I'm going to give you a three-part answer. This is not a quick answer.
That's going to take us to about 5-1
I'll try and be a little faster, but there's three parts. I thought a lot about this.
Yeah, this is a short answer. Right?
When I was a child, I was fascinated with the history and the American Civil War, and I fell into the romantic notion, like so many still do, that these were chivalrous, honorable men – fighting the lost cause against overwhelming odds, and the chivalrous leaders of the South compared to the bumbling idiots of the North who valiantly fought for this cause. Maybe in the end, not the cause they should have fought for, but Robert E. Lee, Stonewall Jackson, James Longstreet, all these A.P. Hill, all these guys that have been immortalized in these statues. The truth is that they were fighting to protect human bondage, slavery, and we forget about that. We look at after the South lost and was devastated, they needed some way to rise up, and they rebuilt this myth of the lost cause, as they call it. All right, and in defense of our peculiar institution, as they call
it. Okay, so what do you think about the statues being up today? What should happen to them?
Let me finish. So there's two more points. One is that, so this is a myth that was created after the fact. Second, those statues weren't erected in 1870. They were erected in the 1920s, when the Ku Klux Klan was at its height, when the Jim Crow laws were at its height.
Exactly.
And they were put up...
as pushback against the civil rights.
They were as pushback.
Well, before civil rights.
Well, but I mean, yeah.
They were as to push or, back that the whites are back in charge.
Yeah.
And they romanticized these figures and erected them not to remember the nobility of the cause and the chivalry of the
fight. So what should happen
to
them, Paul?
They should have never been erected in the first place.
What should happen to them today?
They should all be removed.
And removed and done what with?
You have to put them somewhere because you can't just tear them down. They should go into museums. They should go into other places, which unfortunately people will venerate like they... That's why Hitler doesn't have a grave, because people would go there and venerate it to the day they died.
Right, and, so, and Robert E. Lee basically didn't want statues for himself.
Take the battle flags down and put them in a museum.
But basically you're saying that it is still part of history.
Yeah, we can't ignore it.
And it cannot be whitewashed.
No, it literally
has,
whitewashed.
Funny, right? But it has to be...
honored. It can't be honored.
Well, you can honor it, and you have to also allow for the actual negative side of it to be part of the story. Right. Would you agree?
The story can't be ignored, but it shouldn't be celebrated. And those statues weren't there to celebrate the story. They were there in the 1920s to enforce Jim Crow and white supremacy.
Which, because of the time when they were erected, that makes it easier for me to say, no, this is not sort of a historical significance.
They didn't throw them up right after the war.
Okay, but be that as it may, I think it is wrong to rewrite history, although it happens all the time, by the way, with people who win. Okay, to rewrite history to the point where we basically whitewash this, because there is an important reason why visual images of that remind us. There's a reason why a Holocaust museum is actually
exactly.
a good thing, right?
And why they keep Auschwitz open.
So the story has to be multifaceted and truthful versus just romanticized.
You can't forget.
So what do you think, Greg?
Well, my feeling is this, and I've had this problem with the rebel flag and all this other nonsense that's been sold for decades and generations, okay? And this stems back to the 70s to an hour-long sitcom that had a orange charger and that flag on it. Yeah. And I thought that was wrong then. I think it's wrong now. I think all those statues need to come down. I agree that it is part of our history, and we must learn that lesson, and we must pass that lesson on to each new generation. Now, if you can do something similar in reverence, like a Holocaust museum, and put these pieces there.
There should be a Confederacy
okay
museum. There are museums in Richmond. I've been to them. The Confederacy Museum in Richmond. I've been to the Jefferson Davis House. I have a souvenir from it in Biloxi, Mississippi, which was a memorial and museum.
So we are all in agreement that it is also wrong to try to just bury the past, because there's lessons that need to be passed on as part of that.
But you don't honor these people in prominent positions.
No, but...
We're in agreement on that. You do not honor them.
Right.
Okay. But there's also another problem that's a bigger problem here. You've got the educational system that is being rewritten annually. Okay. There is one company that's out of England that controls all the textbooks from K through 12. Okay. And a huge amount of the curriculum and books for the community colleges. Now, they control 90% of the market.
Right. And
who's dictating, you know, you've got a board of education.
Well, I understand the impulse.
But I could play devil's advocate, and I could argue both sides of what content goes into schools, right? And whether it's appropriate or not.
Can I stop you right here? And this is where we got to stop this conversation, because this was not about Southern sympathy.
This was not
about Southern history.
I understand. And that's
was American Nazis and Ku Klux Klan rallying to spout anti-Semitic,
But you cannot ignore that one of the things
they
that was
just
also
Paul,
I understand that, okay? But the discussion about Confederate statuary, the flag, you know, all of these things have been around for a long time.
Sure.
It came to a boil last weekend, and it was definitely used and manipulated for other purposes.
Yes.
And the way I'm hearing it is that we're in for a whole bunch of rallies this week as well, weekend as
they're
well,
gonna do
all
Louisville,
over the country.
They're going to do it anyplace else.
So this isn't going away.
Doing it here in Orange County this week.
This isn't going away. Okay. No. And the bottom
because
line,
the president said it was okay.
No, but we also the president
he said they only bore half the responsibility.
But it's also an issue that this country has been struggling with and has been pushing off. Okay. This
have you ever lived in the South?
With,
I lived in the South.
Yes, I lived in the South.
And all right, so let me tell you a story.
But, Paul,
I
want to move past this like you said. I just wanted to address it because it is part of the discussion. Okay? Having discussed it, it makes no friggin' difference. At the end of the day, just like I started when I said, you cannot equate people that are basically carrying torches and swastikas with people that are pushing against them.
No.
Okay? That does not equate.
Doesn't work.
Period. Okay? So whether the statues is a topic that we should be engaged in and whether how history gets represented is engaged, that may be the case. But what happened last weekend was not that.
Right.
To your point. What happened last weekend or what ended up happening last weekend is a fascist
Nazi Ku Klux Klan rally.
White supremacist rally.
Yeah, with okay, all those elements.
Wrapping
in it.
Itself into in Southern regalia.
Right.
Okay. And got pushed back against.
Right.
And got pushed back against.
And
the
their response was
life.
To drive a car into a crowd of people like the jihadists did in south of France.
Yeah, he didn't wait to respond when that happened, did he?
No.
To get all the facts? Okay. So
this was domestic terrorism.
So having said that.
Yes, it was.
Okay. Having
same nuts that blew up the Oklahoma building.
Let's all say it. Domestic terrorism.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just like Trump was always critical of Obama for not saying Islamic terrorism because
right.
he didn't want to inflame it. Trump is denying that this was domestic
so there's
terrorism.
The ironies of what they did to Obama for 7 years coming back in this fashion should remind everybody of the concept of karma because it is unbelievable if you want to just look at it from a pragmatic perspective. Every single seed that was sown against Obama okay, is coming
sprouted
back as
up.
A whirlwind. And now they're saying, well, wait a minute, we don't like that harvest anymore. Well, guess what? You planted it. Okay? Now, I want to ask you the following question, and this is to you, Paul. Greg, you might have people also that, you know. Now, we've always talked about this off and on the show the last year, about you're from Michigan. There's a lot of people from Michigan that basically voted for Trump.
Right.
And they voted for Trump.
The Rust Belt.
The Rust Belt. They voted for Trump for certain reasons, right? What were the reasons that they voted for Trump? What were the reasons that you
shame
you
on the rest of the country, me included, for not seeing the gradual destruction of life back there as manufacturing left, as the world changed, and Detroit went from being the fifth largest city in America to out of the top 20. That if that had happened over
the dissemination of the middle class,
if that had happened in a 6 month period like Katrina or something, we'd be having fundraisers for them. But because it happened over a 20 or 30 year period of time, everybody shrugged and said nothing we can do. The Democrats took them for granted and the Republicans took the opportunity.
All right. Craig, you had something to say?
Yeah. What happened to Detroit was horrible.
Yeah.
OK, I used to spend summers in Michigan. My grandparents, my uncle, a lot of family back there.
Yep.
Now, but it wasn't the only one. If you go down that Rust Belt, you look at Cleveland, you look at Toledo, let me get to that, and various other communities. They were all marginalized. They all lost things.
Right.
Pittsburgh was another one. Pittsburgh pulled itself up by its bootstraps. It had its own boots, and then was able to do that.
Yes, it took
them a number of years.
They say Cleveland.
You also
too,
had
a certain degree. Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. Detroit happened on a couple of different watches. Nobody was paying attention, and you also had a huge graft problem within the city government.
Which my friends back there, who are mostly still closet racists, I'm sorry to say, would say it's because it was a black administration, one after another. Coleman Young, they're all nodding their head listening to this, and then Kwame, whatever the guy's name was, and that all got convicted of fraud. Yeah,
but really, Paul, the point is it never should have happened. And everybody in this country should be outraged, okay? And we should all be paying attention to every community and helping where we can.
So we're outraged over here on the West Coast, but those are people that actually had to live through that and continue to live through it. So I want to bring it
both
back
parties
around.
Ignored it. They gave lip service to it, and Trump alone came in and said, I'm going to fix it. I'm going to restore you to your fallen
glory. It was a Bill Clinton, I feel your pain. Honestly.
More than that, right? He was going to turn back the hands of time and bring back this fantasy. All these manufacturing jobs were going to come home. And I used to say to him, even if he forces them to come back, they're not going to pay middle class. Nobody's going to get $100,000 a year to put cars on tires like they used to.
Right.
Like my relatives
right,
used
because
to.
Because the jobs are obsolete.
It's automation, for one thing.
Jobs are obsolete.
So it's a fantasy. He's not going to turn back and bring back the glory days of Detroit. He's not.
But they bought into that.
They bought into it. And okay. They elected him.
Okay, so
they saw what happened in Flint. They saw what you know is going on in Detroit, and these people bought into it.
Okay, yeah. So these guys have been salivating for the last six months, mm-hmm. right? To having part of that promise delivered on, right?
Yeah.
Have they gotten anything?
Nothing.
Okay, so 6 months later, the promise has not been delivered on.
Right.
Where are they today with that support?
110%. They're doubling down. My Twitter feed, my Facebook page is filled with hundreds of friends and relatives and back there who all think I'm the outlier. I'm the crazy one for not voting for Trump. He is a holy man. He is a sacred man who at this point in his life, with the money he had, didn't have to do this. He's sacrificing himself to try and do this, and the whole world is pushing back against him. He is a victim.
Do you want? You shared with me something. You're starting to share something at Twitter, a tweet that you got, right?
Yeah.
Can you share it? Okay. Well, Greg, what do you think about that while he's looking for that?
I don't agree with that, but that's
what they think.
I don't agree with that at all. I think you've got a con man who puts on a good shell. And
all sizzle, no stick.
Yeah. And I think he, you know, he sits there and, you know, he degrades people on a regular basis. He is an angry old white man, and he brings out the worst in virtually everybody. This person is telling you one thing, and it's all about distraction, smoke, and mirrors, and I'm going to pick your pocket while I'm shaking your hand. Exactly. I'm going to rob you blind. I'm going to give you back your wallet. You're going to have a dollar left, and I took the other $300.
But he tapped into the anger.
He tapped into the anger by doing a couple of things. One, his catchphrase, he stole from Governor Bill Clinton when he decided to run for president. Let's make America great again.
Yeah, it was Bill Clinton.
So he stole that from him.
Right.
Everything has been a lie, and it's been smoke and mirrors. He tapped into that anger. He tapped into a community and said, what have you got to lose by voting for me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We got this mentality out there.
Well, and we
put the two absolute worst people against one another for president of the United States.
Well, yeah, we helped
Hillary Clinton her, right? is very divisive. She's accomplished things. She's been the lightning rod against certain things as well. Both Democrats and Republican parties are broken.
Mm-hmm.
They
I agree.
They need to be redone.
I agree.
The Republicans had 8 years to figure out how they were going to govern.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, what are the odds that after a two-term president...
8 years to come up with a palatable alternative to Obamacare.
Seven on that, actually.
Okay, seven. I apologize.
You're absolutely right. And they didn't. They were all a bunch of whiny little bitches, to quote Bill Maher.
And by the way, not seven. Because seven is based on the date that it went into implication.
Yeah, you're right.
All the time leading up to that. So, okay. Let's say 7.5.
We'll split the difference.
Right. But yeah.
But
no,
they had all this time to plan, to come up with a candidate, to rally portions of the country that would have really stood with them. The Democrats had no message. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
I've been paying into, first of all, let's have the Democrats decide that entitlements aren't Social Security. Right. They're not Medicare. You and I and everybody else, whether you're here legally or illegally, pay into that.
Right.
That is an earned benefit. Democrats, it's an earned benefit. Learn that. Get that message out there. It's not an entitlement.
Right.
And, yeah, I do find myself missing W and various other
yeah,
presidents.
Crazy as you. So I'd take anybody.
You know,
I'd like Charlie Manson right now.
No.
He couldn't be any crazier.
That was bad.
Out of here.
You're absolutely wrong about that. Not funny either.
No.
So.
But I agree.
Sorry, Paul. I got to cross bear on that one.
All right.
There is a line. There's a Rubicon between you. Yeah.
Trump doesn't have a line.
No, I know.
No, he doesn't, and that's part of the problem.
Right. Well, let me ask you one question.
Hold on. Both parties are a mess.
Yes.
Both parties have no appeal to me.
They don't to millennials either.
To millennials. No. There is no sense of loyalty to party. Okay, loyalty to party over country should be something that we spit at. Okay? I don't care which party
it is.
Right? And yet that is what we basically perform. It's not a friggin' sport, for God's sake. You're not rooting on a team. Okay, this is people who make policy that affect people's lives. Okay, you need the most qualified people in those places that are willing to serve, okay, and have them basically serve. But to basically make this thing a private country club that's been bought and paid for by lobbyists for so long, we can't even remember what a friggin' representation really is of the people. Okay, both parties are a mess. Okay, that's why. There hasn't been a growth in the Republican Party in Orange County. There's actually been a drop in registered Republicans. But there hasn't been a growth in the Democrats either, because more and more people, 30% of the population in what is technically a conservative county, is now independent or non-declared. Okay? There's a reason why that this is happening and will continue to happen. All right? I want to give a shout-out to one book. Anybody who's interested in one side, at least on the Hillary side, of what happened during the election cycle last year, go read a book called Shattered. That was supposed to be a book called Shattered as in the Glass Ceiling, and turned out to be Shattered as in a Campaign Falling Apart. Okay, you can get it on Audible. We don't make any money on this, but it's a great read. Okay, so did you find that tweet?
Yeah.
Okay, read me the tweet that you got after.
This is on Facebook.
This is after
These are people who are.
This is after this weekend.
Affluent, successful, suburban Detroiters that I grew up with. We all grew up in an affluent suburb of Detroit, the most affluent suburb, okay? These are all people. One of them started the rant and said, why now? This is ridiculous. Leave the statues alone, blah, blah, blah. Another one said, she used to be a judge back to this one. I won't name her, but she used to be a judge back there.
Okay.
I went to high school. She says, well said, this is ridiculous. And then this guy says this. It's the GD, I won't say it out loud, it's the GD commie media. They just keep stirring this shit. They will live to regret it. The blood is on their hands. Rotten, soulless bastards. I don't see how they can sleep at night lying and slanting the way they do. And the rest of it goes on and says, you tell them, buddy.
What is that they will live to regret it?
The lie. This was equal. Trump said it. You know it out there. The lie is this is the left's fault as much as it was the right's fault. They showed up and angered these peaceful protesters who had a permit. Nazis had a permit.
Once again. Clear as day, okay? There is no equating people that wrap themselves with Nazi paraphernalia and march with torches, okay, and people who basically push back against that.
The next one says, I recall the German propaganda machine using their media in the same results.
Yeah.
Trump is innocent.
That's Fox News.
Trump is innocent.
No, even Fox pushed back yesterday.
The Nazis are the victims.
Even Fox News pushed back yesterday.
Most of them aren't. Sean Hannity didn't.
Well, Sean Hannity did this whole little background on, was it slavery or Confederacy or whatever?
They're trying to say that this was a peaceful protest of Southern sympathizers who was interrupted by a few. Trump says they weren't all there. There were a few Nazis, and I condemn them. But the left came and attacked these Southern sympathizers, and they started the fight. And the Nazis just accelerated it. This, which is a false. It was a Nazi Klan rally.
Once again, if you are not outraged right now, you're not paying attention. if you're out there and you don't know what we're talking about, you need to pay attention. And there is no equating. Sorry. But when the Prime Minister of England basically comes out and reads us the Riot Act, when the Germans basically say, we're not surprised. There was a Huffington Post article yesterday.
Yeah.
We are not surprised that this is where the United States
is. You asked me. That's not what they're saying.
You're
expecting
that,
these people to wake
country.
Up back there.
So what happens next? The Germans defend the world from American Nazism?
Let me ask you two questions. All right. One, when I was a little boy, I used to love to play war with soldiers and stuff. That was what we did. They don't sell little war toys like they did to little boys in the 60s. But we all had guns and we played war. And we listened to our father's stories of World War II and we recreated it. And some of us had to be Nazis. And I went to my dad once and said, why can't I buy a Nazi helmet? I want to be the Nazi this week. Little Timmy's going to play the...
It's illegal, right? It's illegal in
and
Germany
my dad
to have...
was so apoplectic, he couldn't even explain to me, why would you want to dress up as a Nazi? And I'm like, it's like cowboys and Indians. I'll be the Indians this week, and he's the cowboy. That's what we've forgotten what people lived and died for. And here's the other point.
Was it Hatch who said that? Was it Arne Hatch that said yesterday that...
Yeah, his brother died in World War II.
My brother didn't die in World War II.
And the other...
Here's the other one. Nazis to march in the
street. How did the party of Lincoln that freed the slaves and crushed the rebellion become the same party that now praises waves the Confederate battle flags that they crushed and sympathizes with their heroes? How did that same party switch sides in that Civil War?
So we're almost out of time.
Right.
And we all know that we could talk about this for the rest of the week. Yeah. What do you think is going to happen next?
Another guy on Facebook followed up with the comment and said, it's all George Soros, who, of course, is the big liberal defender. If he has this way, this divide will be successful and tear down America. This is all a plot to tear down America. Stand behind Trump. Let me say
about that, okay? If a party, if a political party or an ideology or whatever you want to call it, that has the House, has the Senate, has the White House, is still looking to blame somebody else, that has media, in the world of social media and new media, if you are still looking at that, you know, straw man to blame, okay, you should look at about the inefficiency and ineptness of the party.
Look in the mirror.
Right? Because exactly. And don't be looking at blaming the disrespect of the office of the president or pushback and society,
because that is
the seed that you planted for 7.5 years or 8 years.
But you're missing the point that nobody seems to get. These people are as angry at the Republican establishment. That's why they elected Donald Trump.
They're angry at everybody.
Trust me, Paul, I get that.
They've lost their position
in
life.
Here's something that changed. What has changed is that they poked the friggin' bear.
Yeah.
What happened last weekend... okay, pushed people that were quiet and would sit on the sidelines over the line.
This is no different than the 1930s when people flocked to Mussolini and Hitler to solve their problems, to get the trains to run on time.
It's vastly different. It's vastly different.
I think
you've got a 24-hour news cycle.
Right.
Well,
You've got all types of modern-day communication. Right. Okay? You've got idiots in areas of power that never should have been there, and you've got this authoritarian nonsense that's running rampant
but
we're not the only ones having that.
No,
but
no.
Before we're out of time, I want to recommend a book. It's by Timothy Snyder. It's On Tyranny, 20 Lessons from the 20th Century.
Amen.
This book can be read on a half-hour flight from Orange County to San Francisco or Vegas, okay?
Give the name again, Paul.
It is called... Greg. I'm Craig.
Yeah,
I'm
Greg.
The one
yeah,
with
yeah.
The smaller beard. On
the one
Tyranny...
with the smaller what?
Beard.
Oh, okay.
Beard. On Tyranny, 20 Irish, Lessons from the 20th Century by Timothy Snyder. You can get that for less than $7 on Amazon.
Those who forget history are doomed to repeat it.
And yes, they are.
And then
that's the positive one. Know your history.
I'll say also, check out Shattered, the book Shattered, about the Hillary Dark Clinton money. Campaign. And then what is your – you wanna give a, do you have a book that you want to refer or you want anything? You want to take us out with a song or what?
I have a song that says it all.
So thanks, everybody, for joining us. Sorry if we ranted, but it is very important.
You guys won't like this song. This is a little too out there.
Is it the fish cheer?
No.
Wake up and pay attention to what's going on.
Because this time, folks, the revolution will not be televised.
You will not be able to stay home, brother.
Yes, it will. Live on Facebook.
Yeah, it'll be streamed live. Instead.
You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading the charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew.